First Baptist Church of Redmond, March 9th, 2014. One event.
Ecclesiastes 9:2. All things come alike to all. One event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good, the clean, and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner. He who takes an oath as he who fears an oath. You see.
Thank you very much. Today, our message is very simple. Matter of fact, as opposed to taking blocks of things, I'm really taking a perspective out here. Because remember, Ecclesiastes is Solomon at the end of his life, reflecting on things. Things that started off well, and then he gave in to the opportunities that he had. Remember, it's not always what you can do, but what you should do. And being the king, he could do anything, and unfortunately, he did everything. And at the end of his life, he's essentially having his repentance story, his sorrow story. I did all these things. They were frustrating. They didn't really bring me what was promised. I still had problems. It brought me more and more difficulties. So the last part of our book, chapter 7 through 12, he's sitting down giving some of the lessons that he's learned. And we're picking up on the one phrase that is here in the whitest of white on our screen. One event happens to the righteous and the wicked. Things happen to us. So what difference does it make? What kind of impact do the things we have? You've probably been like me and see people where something very, very small goes wrong. And some people, they'll go crazy. They will overreact. They will complain. They might even strike someone. Or some people, a very simple thing happens. So what? We'll go on. No big deal. We can handle it. We can manage it. That's what we're looking at. If you look at your picture on the screen, this is illustrating really what I want to get to today. So you can see there's our friend. What movie is that from? The Hills Are Alive. So you got someone on the left side looking at all that tremendous creation around them. Evolution is real. Look at the proof. On the right side, some outside looking at God's creation, sees the birds, the flowers, trees. God is real. Look at all this proof. This is the introduction to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Because so many things in life are determined not by what happens. Can I tell you? Not by what happens. Because you can fear God and have a lot of terrible things happen in your life. You can disrespect God and not have anything go wrong in your life. Those two things may not have anything to do with each other. In the Bible, the stress that comes to us is God expects the number one thing for us to do is to trust Him. And if we trust Him, the follow-up step to that is to be faithful to Him. Because you can say anything, but it's what you do. Jesus proved that when He performed one of His miracles. He was sitting in a room and He looked at a young man who couldn't walk and He said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Well, so what? Anybody could say that. Anybody could. Oh, you know, te absolvo, I forgive you of your sins. Well, so what? But Jesus looked around and saw He was being not just observed by the friends and family, but by some folks who had come to find criticism. And He said, so that you will know that I, the Son of Man, have the power to forgive sins. Arise, roll up your bed, and walk out the back door. That was difficult because that was easy to put to the test. And when the man who could not walk suddenly could walk, just by the words, not the touch, not the spit, not a magical prayer, but by the words of Jesus, he suddenly became someone who had to be noticed. Things happen around us, and how do you respond? How do you explain? How do you deal with the things that are around you? Because we live in a world that is not always friendly to us. There's our cartoon, "Where do you believe? Where is your faith?" Mom tells kid, "Billy, there's no Santa Claus." Billy cries. 20 years later, Billy comes home after going to school. "Mom, there's no God." Mom cries because mom's disappointed with what Billy has discovered.
this is what most of the people you meet think of you. This is the exact analogy you have. Today, when we look at the book of the Ecclesiastes, and we're introducing our chapter, chapter 9 today, because chapter 9 is going to run over and give a lot of insight on things that happen. He's going to go back to that theme of things under the sun, things that give frustration. Last week, when we looked at chapter 8, we were talking about words and speech and the way we respond to things, because a lot of times our testimony is ruined by the way we respond. Our testimony is ruined by the emotional reactions we have to things. You would never know that God lives inside of us sometimes by the way we respond and say things. And this theme, this overall arching theme of response, what is the most alive? Sometimes before we go to bed, the kids go to bed at night, it's in the living room, the kids will come and say bye, Daniel will come over, and then Daniel down the down to sit on your lap. Dad, Daniel takes a moment now before he does that, because Dad doesn't have to remember, Dad has never really left me. And if Daniel can hop on my right leg and sit there and squirm into the things a child would do, no big deal. But if he sits on my left leg, where there's some metal with a little bit of skin stretched over it, oh, Dad's eyes can get big if the right moment is struck, if the right nerve is moved, if, whoa! So Dad'll say, Dad, I'm going to sit down over here now so he gets my attention so I can prepare for that moment. It's not what he does, it's my reaction. And how do I, as a God-fearer, view life, how do I see things, and when things go wrong, what is my response? You know, what do you see? I don't think they're expecting to see the thought balloon coming out of this young person as they stand there, they look around, they say there is no God, and they take a moment and see the creation. Why is there a physical universe around us? Why is the world looking the way it is? Why are the stars the way they are? The Bible tells us, Psalm 19, Romans 1, that we reflect on the created universe, and it makes us realize that A, there is something bigger than us that should be God, and B, it makes us realize that we are smaller than the things around us and whoever it is that was responsible to make those things. That's why the world around us is very, very strong on trying to mash out any perspective we might have on a divine being. Because if there's a God who has this kind of authority, this kind of power, this kind of strength, I might need to listen to him. So the world doesn't like us to think that there is anything responsible for this, nor does the world like us to consider that this God has done things in the past. Hebrews chapter 11 speaks to us about the one who comes to God and believes that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, that God is alive and active in the world around us. So we look around and people say, you know, Pastor, I was looking at things, where are all the creation evidences? We've seen evolution evidences, where are the Christian evidences? Where are the creation evidences? And most of the time, the only way to respond to that is say, there are no creation evidences. By the way, there are no evolution evidences. It's all the same evidence. It's how you explain it. And the most famous thing I always talk to people about when they get this far with me is, you used to be able to buy books. Books about physiology and biology. They would talk about what happens to your body when it ages, and they would talk about Egyptian mummification. And, you know, a body that is properly cared for, you know, some of these mummies are thousands of years old. There's bones there, there's a little bit of flesh, some still have their teeth, there's some organs there, but they last for a while. So how long will last? Well, they're not really sure, but, you know, a body can last thousands of years. They say, well, what about blood? Oh, blood, well, blood might be able to be preserved and last in a few thousand years as well, but certainly not a very long time. They said that until some poor lady, who is a paleontologist, happened to comment about 15 years ago in a peer-reviewed paper that, oh, by the way, we've been analyzing the blood cells, the blood tissue we're finding in 65-million-year-old dinosaur legs. And she got in trouble, not because she found them, because can I tell you a secret? Other paleontologists had found it. They just hadn't said anything about it. This was not new news. And DeLay was criticized for pride because he said, you had to tell everybody because you wanted to be noticed. And B, we had to explain how there can be blood tissue, blood cells, then we have to say why they're 60-something million years old. So the answer is either, well, A, they are 60 million years old, or, wow, guess what? Blood can last 60 million years now. We didn't know that before. You put a ham sandwich in your kitchen, and you just wait 60 million years, you just can have it for lunch. We didn't know that. What, your experience doesn't show that that's true? Well, let me tell you. And that's really the response of what's going on. We see the evidence differently. And this is, friends, this is the truth. You choose to see the evidence differently. Your faith changes you. If you go to the Holy Spirit today, let him guide your heart, you can see things. Because how you view life makes a difference. It says a great deal about you. That is why origins are important. This is why the Bible, in the beginning, God. That's your placeholder on your slide today. You know, the Bible begins by arguing, why is there a God? It just begins to talk about him. We, too, need to just begin to talk about God. It's good to be able to have the ability to have discussion. I like that. This pamphlet is blank. We're atheists. We don't believe in anything. It's good to be able to discuss and support what you believe. Apologetics has a place. I spend a lot of time. Maybe too much time, I don't know. I spent a lot of time looking at history, looking at logic, looking at science. How does the Bible support the different things that we see? How can the Bible be demonstrated to be correct? Archaeology, modern ancient history in the Levant, Palestine, everything that people said, there's no people like that. Well, guess what? They dig around and they find those things. They even find references. I talked about the most recent Biblical Archaeology Review. It mentions over 50 people mentioned in the Bible that folks didn't used to think exist. And they find archaeological evidence from ancient Near East drawings, paintings, literature that mentions these people. So when people dig around, the Bible is true. Knowing the truth and being able to explain it is part of our responsibility. 1 Peter 3:15. Be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Why do you trust God? Why do you believe in the Bible? The number one answer is because of you. I look at myself. God has changed me. God has given me a faith and a hope. And I can tell you that I am a different person as a result of that. And these other things are an extra. Here's what we want to mention for a moment. And forgive me if you were with me Sunday night. I'm debating in my mind. I really like what I have here. It's going to be 7 minutes long. So forgive me, but you can add 7 minutes to the clock. That's where we're going to be at. Something that always interests me is that around the world, every place, there is a tradition of a flood, of a worldwide flood. And you can look there and see ancient culture histories to modern histories. You move across the top there. The Assyrian Empire, Babylonian, Persian, Syrian, and Asian Minor, that's Turkey, Greece, Egypt, Italy, Lithuania, Russia, China, India, the Cree Indians of Canada, the Cherokee Indians in the U.S., the Papago Natives of Mexico, the Aztecs of Mexico, in Peru, in the Pacific, Leeward Islands, Fiji Islands, in Hawaii. There was different aspects of the Bible's presentation of a worldwide flood. Why are there so many flood stories? People who will try and give an explanation will say that, A, either everybody copied Hammurabi, some of his laws, some of those old guidance, some of the Epic of Gilgamesh from around that area, before our Bible was written in the way we have it now. There were some books, writings before then that will say, hey, well, the Bible just copied that story and made it Jewish. There's a more recent book where a scholar has tried to say that really people used to live in what is now the Black Sea area in today modern Russia. And there was a flood, an earthen dam broke, and that just changed everybody. And so they inflated that to being a worldwide flood. Or guess what? Is it possible that every culture has some memory of a universal flood that passed down to their descendants? Is that possible? Well, I'm going to tell you that there is, because the Bible tells us the truth about everything without lying. Remember, again, as we talk about things that you should notice, until about 200 years ago, about 175 years ago, dinosaurs was the word we didn't talk about. It was made up, and you know, people did not excavate and study the deposits of dinosaur bones. Why didn't they talk about the Middle Ages? They hadn't found them. They hadn't discovered them. If they saw bones, they didn't realize what they were and poke around with them. But in the 19th century, the 1800s, People began to poke around and find bones for large animals that didn't exist anymore. These were unknown. These were unknown. 175, definitely 200 years ago. People didn't know anything about these. There was no cultural reference, no discussion, no pictures, except in Angkor Wat, modern Cambodia. There's drawings of different animals in the temples there in Angkor Wat. We will find monkeys, this, that, all kinds of things. There's carvings of stegosaurs in Angkor Wat. How could that be? Somebody in that culture had a memory, a human having a memory of a quote-unquote prehistoric animal, and they depicted it in their artwork. Other animals that are on that were not mythic. All the other animals on this temple carvings are real creatures. It just happens to be that they only had one prehistoric one. How many years ago did the dinosaur live? We've already talked about dead tissue, millions of thousands. See, when you look up here, well, Pastor, this is a state church issue. No. This is not the problem. This is only a symptom of the problem. Because the issue is, I need to believe what God says. I need to believe what God says. And even if it's legal or illegal, there's a lot of legal things that I hope you don't do, okay? We'll just leave it there. There's a lot of legal things I hope you don't do. There's illegal things I definitely hope you don't do. But there's legal things I hope, just because you can, doesn't mean that you should. This becomes an issue for our society. We have decided to say this is okay. It may be wise to do, but it's, you won't go to jail for it. What I have here is, we showed this last Sunday night, this really grabs me. We've talked about a website called whoarethechinese.com. I encourage you, this is interesting to me. If you have an Asian friend, go come up with that. Whoarethechinese.com. What is that? Somebody has made an evangelistic video presentation for ethnic native Chinese. The whole presentation is 37 minutes long. We're going to watch just under 7 minutes of it right now. They're driving my point home, and we'll have communion. The first, about 20 minutes of that video, was just Chinese history. We're going to watch a segment of the second where they talk about Chinese pictogram writings, because the words that are still used in modern Chinese are put together from different symbols that go back to the past that don't match up with Chinese history, that don't match up with any other culture except the culture of the Old Testament. And so we're going to watch how their pictograms are put together. And after watching this, let me tell you, there is no other way to explain the foundation of these words. And this is a cultural memory of the events that took place in the book of Genesis. Who are the Chinese people ends up with about 10, 15 minutes of testimonies of adult Chinese who have trusted Christ as their Savior. Can a Chinese trust Jesus? Why, yes, I did, and I'm saved. That's the right way to answer that. So join with me, if you will. This is fascinating. And again, how do you look at these things? There is no other way to look at this. There is no other way to look at this than to say God is real. These events happened, and the Chinese culture didn't have contact with Jews from Asia, we don't think, until about 1700. They didn't have contact with Christian missionaries until about 1700. That's probably the best way to say that. So they were exposed to the Bible, and they've been using these characters for over 2,000 years.
Examples of how Chinese words have evolved. The Chinese character for sun derived from a circle and changed to what it looks like now. The word mountain is a simplified picture of three mountains that evolve into three strokes. The word elephant began with a picture of an elephant, which found its way to its present form. The word rain came from an image that looked like water drops falling from above, and over time transformed into how it is written today.
The evolution of Chinese writing was of great significance, as it shows that the Chinese form words from what they witnessed visually. History was recorded through what they saw and understood.
Understanding how words were formed in Chinese script gives further insight into the ancestral roots of the people. This is illustrated by setting it against the backdrop of the Bible, an ancient book written by the Jews 3,000 years ago. The Jewish people lived in the Middle East with no external contact outside that region until the 17th century. This meant that the Chinese and the Jews would have no knowledge of each other prior to that time. Yet writings and records of both cultures point to a similar history. First, the question about the origin of man. Where did man come from? Chuang Tzu, the Taoist thinker, writes, "In the beginning of all things, there was a void. There was nothing that could be named." Similarly, the Bible starts with Moses writing the account of how, in the beginning, the earth was without form and void. Dong Zhongshu, another Taoist thinker, writes, "This origin is like the source. Its significance lies in its permeation of heaven and the earth from the beginning to the end." Parallel to this is the Jewish prophet John's writing about God as the origin and the source of matter and time. "I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end." Starting from the writings of Moses and Genesis, the history of mankind can be followed by seven Chinese characters in the biblical account side by side. The Bible reads, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." The Chinese word "to create" is formed by the word "speak," "dust," "life," and "walk." As God spoke to the dust received life and was able to walk. Then he placed the first person, Adam, into the garden and blessed him. In Genesis it says, "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. But Adam was lonely, so God formed woman out of one of Adam's ribs and called her Eve." In the garden there were two special trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God forbade Adam and Eve to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and warned of the death if they disobeyed. We see this in the ancient Chinese word for restraint, which is made up of a mouth and a tree. However, the devil disguised himself as a snake and tempted Eve. He persuaded her to think that she would not die if she ate the fruit, and that her eyes would be open to see the things the way God did, knowing both good and evil. Eve then started to covet the tree's fruit. The Chinese word for covet, desire, or greed is formed with two trees and a woman. When Eve ate the fruit and gave it to Adam, this brought death to them, as written in the Bible. They could no longer live forever in God's presence. The word for put to death comprises of his words, which warned them that if they partook of the forbidden tree, their life would return to dust from which they were taken. According to the Bible, Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden after they had sinned and began to multiply the earth. Evil increased with mankind, and God decided that they needed to be destroyed. One man, however, found favor in God's eyes and was spared. Before God struck the earth with a great flood, he instructed Noah to build an ark large enough to shelter a pair of each living creature, as well as his family of eight, himself, his wife, his three sons, and three daughters-in-law. The Chinese word for boat comprises of the word vessel with eight mouths in it, symbolizing eight people. The word flood is made from the words eight, united, and earth, forming the word total and water. After the flood, Noah set up an altar and offered burnt offerings to God. For thousands of years during the New Year, the Chinese have also set up an altar with burnt offerings to the God of Heaven. This practice is still very much alive today. Once the flood receded, people began populating the earth, and after a period of time, they gathered at the plains of Shinar and began building a tower to reach the heavens. At that time, everyone spoke just one language. The word tower in Chinese is made up of the words grass, clay,
one mouth and mankind. This agrees with the Bible when it says, "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech." And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had bricks of stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city, and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." God was against what they were doing, and came down to confuse their language. There was then a great division of languages, followed by the mass migration of mankind to different parts of the earth. The Chinese character for migrate, consisting of the words great, division, west, and walk, encapsulates what happened and indicates where the Chinese went. From the great division in the west, they walked.
So, you could say that's a coincidence, but I don't choose to. Bible does this as the days of the Noah were, so the coming of the Son of Man, there's a lot of stress about Noah right now and for a lot of different reasons, but that's the concern. People who ignore the truth, who don't see what's going on, some people are eating and drinking and moving along, all of a sudden, pow, something happened and they were not prepared for it. Everybody else would say, well, they should have known. Well, we should know things. We should pay attention to things. And I would ask you to give God the benefit of the doubt. I'm not sure how else to say that. But give God the benefit of the doubt. Why do things work the way they are? Why does the universe work the way it is? Why are things so predictable? Why do physical laws function the way? Why are you the way you are? Why are these kinds of cultural histories? This one is the most evident one. That's why we just went with that one. Why are there histories and memories of things that people will say, well, just everybody makes this story up? I would say, I hope you give God the benefit of the doubt. For us, there will never be a time when everyone believes in God. Well, everybody doesn't think, well, you know what? There's never going to be a time when everybody thinks like this. Not until the days of the new heaven and new earth. And we each need to view our lives wisely from God's perspective and trust that what he says is the only guide for our souls. Not that, yeah, I've got this Bible, yeah, well, I don't worry about that anymore. Or, that's for kids. Or, that's not for people who think. Or, if you're smart, you'll realize these are just suggestions. I would hope you don't think that way. God, help us, we pray, to decide as people who name you as our God that we really believe what you say. It's one thing to say things, but we really believe what you say, and you can tell it by what we do. God, help our actions to demonstrate that we really believe in you. In Jesus' name, everybody said,